the air in Babylon, thick with the scent of exotic spices and the murmur of a thousand languages, grew heavy with dread in June of 323 BCE. Alexander Roman III of Macedon, the young king who had, in a breathtaking 13 years, carved an empire from the rugged mountains of Greece to the fertile plains of India, lay dying. He was barely 32. His fevered last days were a storm of unanswered questions. Who would succeed him? What would become of the vast, improbable dominion he had forged? Yet, the demise of this extraordinary figure was not an ending, but a dramatic pivot point, initiating a new chapter in ancient history, the Hellenistic Age. This era, born from the ashes of Alexander's unified realm, became a crucible of cultural exchange, where Greek language, art, philosophy, and political structures intermingled with the ancient traditions of the Near East, Egypt, and Central Asia, creating a tapestry of unprecedented richness and complexity. The empire, a colossal edifice built on the sheer force of one man's will and military brilliance, fractured almost immediately upon his death. There was no clear heir, no designated successor. Alexander's infant son, Alexander Roman IV, was too young, and his mentally incapacitated half-brother, Philip Roman III of Hidias, was incapable of ruling. This vacuum of power sparked what became known as the Wars of the Diadochi, a brutal, protracted struggle among Alexander's most ambitious generals, the successors. For decades, these men, battle-hardened, brilliant, and utterly ruthless, clashed across the vastness of the empire, each vying for a piece of the inheritance. Their conflicts were not just about land and power, but about the very nature of the empire itself, a vision that ultimately dissolved into separate, independent kingdoms. From this prolonged period of warfare emerged the major Hellenistic monarchies. First, the sprawling Seleucid Empire, founded by Seleucus I Nicator, who had initially served as one of Alexander's trusted commanders. This immense realm stretched from the Aegean coast of Anatolia deep into Central Asia, encompassing Persia, Mesopotamia, and parts of India. Its sheer geographical scale made it inherently difficult to govern, a challenge compounded by the immense diversity of its populations and the constant threat of internal revolts and external incursions. Yet, within its borders, cities like Antioch on the Orontes and Seleucia on the Tigris blossomed into significant urban centers, fostering vibrant intellectual and commercial life. Then there was the Ptolemaic Kingdom of Egypt, established by Ptolemy I Soter, another of Alexander's generals. Unlike the vast landmass of the Seleucid domain, Ptolemaic Egypt was geographically more contained, centered on the life-giving Nile. The Ptolemies, a dynasty that would rule Egypt for nearly three centuries, proved adept at navigating the complexities of their new kingdom. They adopted many of the ancient pharaonic traditions, presenting themselves as legitimate successors to the pharaohs, even while maintaining a distinct Greek cultural identity for their ruling elite. Their capital, Alexandria, became a beacon of Hellenistic civilization, renowned for its magnificent lighthouse, its thriving port, and above all, its unparalleled library and museum, which attracted scholars and thinkers from across the known world, transforming the city into the intellectual heart of the Hellenistic age. In Alexander's homeland, the Antigonid Kingdom of Macedon arose, founded by Antigonus I Monophthalmus the One-Eyed and later solidified by his grandson, Antigonus Roman II Gonatas. This dynasty grappled with maintaining control over Greece, often clashing with the fiercely independent Greek city-states and their emerging leagues. The Antigonids, however, saw themselves as the custodians of Alexander's Macedonian heritage, and despite the diminished size of their kingdom compared to the eastern realms, they played a crucial role in perpetuating Greek political and military traditions in the Aegean. Beyond these major players, other significant, albeit smaller, Hellenistic states also emerged, such as the Attalid Kingdom of Pergamon in Asia Minor, which, like Ptolemaic Egypt, became a renowned center for the arts and learning, boasting its own impressive library. The establishment of these successor kingdoms was not merely a redrawing of political maps, it initiated a profound process of cultural transformation. The Hellenistic world was not a homogeneous entity but a dynamic arena where Greek culture, introduced by conquerors and settlers, interacted with the rich, ancient traditions of Egypt, Persia, and other regions. This was not a simple act of imposition, a one-way street where Greek culture unilaterally subsumed local customs. Instead, it was a complex dance of exchange, adaptation, and fusion, a blending of East and West that yielded something entirely new. One of the most powerful agents of this cultural diffusion was language. Prior to Alexander's conquests, the Greek world was characterized by a multiplicity of dialects. However, the needs of administering a vast empire, facilitating trade, and allowing for communication among disparate populations led to the rise of Koine Greek. This common dialect emerged as a simplified, standardized form of Greek, drawing elements from various regional tongues. Koine Greek quickly became the lingua franca, a common language used for communication between people who speak different native languages of the entire Hellenistic world. It was the language of government decrees, commercial transactions, and intellectual discourse. This widespread adoption of a common language was revolutionary, breaking down barriers and enabling an unprecedented flow of ideas, literature, and scientific knowledge across vast geographical distances. While Koine Greek became dominant, it did not entirely eradicate local languages. In the rural heartlands, ancient tongues such as Aramaic, Egyptian, and various Persian dialects continued to be spoken, preserving the distinct identities of those communities. However, bilingualism became increasingly common, particularly among the educated elite and those involved in administration or commerce. The Greek language also became the vehicle for a new wave of literary output. The Hellenistic period saw the development of new literary forms, such as the pastoral idyl and the didactic poem, and a renewed emphasis on scholarship. The Library of Alexandria, in particular, became a powerhouse of textual criticism and literary study, where scholars meticulously edited, commented on, and preserved the masterpieces of classical Greek literature. Poets like Callimachus and Apollonius of Rhodes, steeped in the learning available in Alexandria, produced works that were often more learned and sophisticated, reflecting the cosmopolitan intellectual environment. The physical landscape of the Hellenistic world also bore the unmistakable imprint of Greek influence, particularly in its cities. Alexander himself had been a prolific city founder, often naming these new urban centers Alexandria in his honor. His successors continued this trend, establishing new cities and extensively remodeling older ones. These Hellenistic cities, whether Alexandria in Egypt, Antioch in Syria, or Pergamon in Asia Minor, were meticulously planned on Greek models. They typically featured a grid plan centered around an agora, an open public space that served as a marketplace and a civic gathering point, and boasted impressive public buildings such as gymnasia, which were centers for athletic training and intellectual education, theaters for dramatic performances, and temples dedicated to Greek deities. Yet, even in architecture, a synthesis of styles began to emerge. While the basic framework of a Hellenistic city was Greek, local traditions often found their way into the details. For instance, in Ptolemaic Egypt, temples built in a Greek style might incorporate Egyptian iconographic elements, depicting pharaonic symbols or Egyptian gods, or be dedicated to syncretic deities, deities that combined aspects of two or more gods from different cultures. These cities were far more than mere administrative centers. They were dynamic hubs of trade, learning, and cultural exchange. They drew in people from across the Hellenistic world, merchants, scholars, artists, and adventurers, creating a melting pot of ideas and innovations. Hellenistic art, particularly sculpture, underwent a significant transformation from the idealized forms of the classical Greek period. While classical Greek art often focused on perfect human proportions and serene expressions, Hellenistic artists embraced realism, emotional intensity, and dramatic narrative. They were less concerned with ideal beauty and more with capturing the full spectrum of human experience, including childhood, old age, suffering, and the raw power of emotion. Iconic works such as the Laocoön group, depicting a Trojan priest and his sons battling sea serpents with agonizing intensity, the serene yet sensual Venus de Milo, and the dynamic, windswept winged victory of Samothrace exemplify this shift towards greater dynamism, theatricality, and emotional expression. While Greek artistic conventions predominated, there is evidence of subtle influences from Egyptian and Near Eastern art, particularly noticeable in coinage and certain decorative motifs, reflecting the wider cultural interactions. The intellectual landscape of the Hellenistic world was equally vibrant, witnessing the flourishing of new philosophical schools and groundbreaking advancements in science. Philosophy, in particular, evolved to address the concerns of a more cosmopolitan, less civically focused world. Stoicism, founded by Zeno of Citium, preached virtue, reason, and living in harmony with the natural order of the cosmos. It advocated for emotional resilience in the face of adversity and famously championed the idea of a universal brotherhood of humanity, transcending ethnic and national boundaries. In contrast, Epicureanism, founded by Epicurus, focused on the pursuit of pleasure, though not in the hedonistic sense, but as the absence of pain and mental disturbance, a state known as ataraxia. Epicureans advocated a life of moderation, friendship, and quiet contemplation, seeking tranquility away from the turmoil of public life. A third significant school, skepticism, particularly through the teachings of Pytho of Veles, questioned the very possibility of certain knowledge and advocated for a suspension of judgment, or epoch, as the path to inner peace. In the realm of science, the Hellenistic period was a golden age of innovation. In astronomy, Aristarchus of Samos, centuries before Copernicus, proposed a heliocentric model of the solar system, suggesting that the Earth revolved around the Sun, though this radical idea did not gain widespread acceptance at the time. Hipparchus, another brilliant astronomer, made crucial contributions to trigonometry and painstakingly catalogued stars, laying the groundwork for future astronomical observations. Mathematics saw monumental achievements with Euclid's Elements, which systematically organized and synthesized geometry, becoming a foundational text for millennia. Archimedes, a polymath from Syracuse, made fundamental contributions to mechanics, hydrostatics, and pure mathematics, famously exclaiming "Eureka!" upon discovering the principle of buoyancy. In medicine, scholars like Herophilus and Erasistratus, conducting anatomical studies in Alexandria, made significant advances in understanding the human body, pushing the boundaries of anatomical knowledge. Religion, too, became a site of fascinating interaction and blending. The contact between Greek religious traditions and the ancient faiths of the conquered territories led to a process known as syncretism, where deities and religious practices merged or were identified with one another. A prime example is the creation of Serapis, a Greco-Egyptian god actively promoted by Ptolemy I. Serapis was a deliberate fusion, combining aspects of the Egyptian gods Osiris and Apis with Greek deities like Zeus, Hades, and Asclepius. This new deity was an astute political move, an attempt to create a common object of worship that could appeal to both the Greek settlers and the native Egyptian population, fostering a sense of shared identity within the Ptolemaic kingdom. Alongside this state-sponsored syncretism, the Hellenistic period also saw a significant rise in the popularity of mystery cults. These cults, such as the Greek Eleusinian Mysteries, offered their initiates personal salvation, a sense of belonging, and the promise of a more meaningful afterlife, distinct from the often impersonal public cults. Eastern mystery cults, like those of Isis from Egypt and Mithras from Persia, also gained a wide following across the Greek world, illustrating the spiritual ferment and the permeable boundaries between different religious traditions. The magnificent Hellenistic kingdoms, despite their cultural vibrancy and intellectual achievements, ultimately faced an irresistible force, the rising power of Rome. One by one, they succumbed. Macedon fell to Roman legions in the 2nd century BCE, becoming a Roman province. The vast Seleucid Empire, already weakened by internal strife and the expansion of the Parthian Empire to its east, was gradually whittled away by Roman intervention and ultimately absorbed into the Roman sphere of influence. Finally, the Ptolemaic Kingdom, the last vestige of Alexander's empire, met its dramatic end with the death of the charismatic Queen Cleopatra Roman 7 in 30 BCE. After her defeat by Octavian, later Emperor Augustus, at the Battle of Actium, Egypt, too, became a Roman province. Yet, the legacy of Alexander and the Hellenistic Age was far from extinguished. Indeed, it proved to be profound and enduring, shaping the course of subsequent civilizations. Rome, though a conqueror, was in many ways conquered by the culture it absorbed. The Greek language, literature, philosophy, and artistic sensibilities of the Hellenistic world became foundational elements of Roman elite culture. Educated Romans often spoke Greek fluently, revered Greek philosophy, and collected Greek art. The Eastern Roman, or Byzantine, Empire, which emerged after the division of the Roman Empire, continued to be a bastion of Hellenistic culture for over 1,000 years, preserving and transmitting Greek learning to future generations. The Hellenistic period also served as a vital bridge to the East. Greek thought and scientific knowledge, carried by the conquests and trade routes, flowed eastward, particularly into Persia and, crucially, later into the burgeoning Islamic world. During the Islamic Golden Age, many Greek texts, especially in philosophy, medicine, and science, were meticulously translated into Arabic by Islamic scholars, who not only preserved this knowledge but also built upon it, making their own significant contributions to various fields. The impact on Christianity was equally significant. Koine Greek, the common language of the Hellenistic world, became the language of the New Testament. This widespread linguistic foundation facilitated the rapid spread of early Christianity across the Eastern Mediterranean. Furthermore, philosophical concepts from Stoicism, Platonism, and other Hellenistic schools profoundly influenced early Christian theology, providing frameworks for understanding concepts like God, the soul, and morality. In a broader sense, the Hellenistic period can be understood as an early form of globalization. It was an era that demonstrated how intense cultural exchange could transform societies, creating new hybrid identities and fostering a dynamic interplay between diverse traditions. The lines between Greek and non-Greek became increasingly blurred, giving rise to a new cosmopolitan identity. However, despite the general acceptance of this narrative of cultural diffusion, certain aspects remain subjects of scholarly debate. One central question revolves around the extent of Hellenization. How deeply did Greek culture truly penetrate local societies? Was it primarily an elite phenomenon, confined largely to the cities and the ruling classes, or did it significantly alter the daily lives of ordinary people in the villages and rural areas? Did Hellenization necessitate a complete abandonment of local traditions, or was it more often a process of selective adoption and adaptation, where foreign elements were incorporated into existing frameworks? Historians also grapple with the precise nature of the cultural exchange. Was Hellenistic culture primarily imposed by the conquerors, a top-down phenomenon, or was it a more reciprocal process of mutual influence, where local traditions also shaped the incoming Greek culture? The concept of acculturation, the process of cultural change and psychological change that results from contact between two or more cultures, is often employed to describe this complex, nuanced interaction, emphasizing its multidirectional nature. Another point of contention concerns Alexander's own intentions. To what extent did he consciously aim for a fusion of cultures, as suggested by his famous mass marriages at Susa, where thousands of his soldiers were encouraged to marry Persian women, or his integration of Persian troops into his army? Or was the extensive cultural diffusion largely an unintended consequence of his conquests and the subsequent stability provided by the Hellenistic kingdoms, a natural outgrowth of prolonged interaction rather than a deliberate policy? Finally, some scholars have debated whether the Hellenistic period marked a decline from the perceived golden age of classical Greece. Critics sometimes point to a perceived loss of political freedom under monarchical rule, a focus on individual rather than civic virtue, and a perceived decline in the originality of certain art forms. Yet, others strongly argue that the Hellenistic age was a period of immense intellectual vitality, groundbreaking innovation, and unprecedented cosmopolitanism, far from a mere shadow of its classical predecessor. The legacy of Alexander the Great, therefore, is not simply the tale of a brilliant military commander. It is the story of how his whirlwind conquests unleashed forces that fundamentally reshaped the ancient world, ushering in a vibrant and complex era of cultural interaction. The Hellenistic Age, born from the ambition of one man and solidified by the struggles of his successors, created a world that was interconnected, culturally rich, and intellectually dynamic, leaving an indelible mark that resonates through the Roman Empire, the Byzantine world, the Islamic Golden Age, and ultimately, in the foundations of Western civilization itself.